Good afternoon. Today is Monday, August the 6th, 215th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, he's still there, folks. Eureka Police Chief for today and tomorrow, Merle Harpham. So you're just kind of picking off any competition one at a time, and eventually they're going to have to give it to you, huh?
No, I was looking forward to working with the gentleman that they'd selected.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about some of the things that are out there and some of the challenges that there are also in being a police chief in a small town, and also being in a small town that is a rural, wouldn't say focus, but let's use that word just kind of as a working term right now.
Okay.
Why some people like the area and some people don't like the area as far as being a police chief, and we'll talk about it when we come back.
I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Biette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpham, but before we do, our much anticipated and eagerly awaited quote of the day this afternoon comes from Edwin Friedman. Quote, leadership can be thought of as a capacity to define oneself to others in a way that clarifies and expands a vision of the future.
Okay.
A little wordy, but yeah. I think we got there.
I think a short one would be better, like Will Rogers' quote, don't squat with spurs on.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't check your gun being loaded at the end of the barrel.
Yeah.
Well, you've gone through enough police chiefs over your tenure. What makes a good police chief?
Well, you know, there's an old saying that you don't need a mirror to see your image. All you need to do is inspect your troops. That's your reflection. And if you in that reflection you see the things that you stand for, then that's a good leader.
So as you are not in your current position, but when you reflect back, let's call you the archivist.
Okay.
Okay, for the police department. You've gone through guys that have been there for 2 years or less. You've gone with guys that have been there for two decades or more.
Shipley was there 17 years, and Emma Heiser was there 20-some years.
Okay, so they straddled, yeah. Obviously that there was something that made the good guys good, or the long-tenured right. guys better than others. Some of it could be impeccable timing, sure. Budgets, you bet.
Yeah.
Having a young Harpham, perhaps. What do you see as the things that separate a chief that really does fit into either Eureka or any of the cities in Humboldt County or in our region? Because obviously there's some stuff that doesn't work. We've seen that from the guys from the big town. And there's some stuff here that works famously because we've seen that also.
Yeah. You know, the number one thing that I believe in, and I've said this before, and that is use your people. Surround yourself with people that are smarter than you, so to speak, at least smarter than you in some areas, and depend on them, you know, rely on them. And like myself, I like to rely a lot on my sergeants because the sergeants know what's going on in town. They're out there every day on the street. They have the pulse of the community. So I like to rely on the leadership, below me.
What are some of the pitfalls? Those that may never have been chief before that you've seen them exhibit?
Well,
or just things you kind of scratch your head and go, well, that's interesting, and they really didn't work out.
Making changes for the sake of a change, when you don't really know how whatever you're doing now works, and again, it goes back to relying on your people. Find out what your people think about things before you make decisions on major major events.
the fact that the police chief in Eureka is selected by the city manager, who is selected and maintained and employed by a cast of five characters.
Now that's your words, not mine.
Yeah, I know. Does that make it a more tenuous position? Is the structure of government in Eureka for this position, is it easier to attract a quality police chief than it might be in, let's say, a community that doesn't have a city charter the way that Eureka is? We could just say Arcata or Fortuna, because they've got good quality guys running their departments.
Yes, they do. And that's a tough one, because I've never been in the agencies like that are much more political. We're not. I have never considered. You know, I'm sensitive to politicians, but I try to stay non-political, and I think chiefs have to do that. And you know, there was a time when, before the city manager form of government came to Eureka, I started working. It was the mayor council form of government. And Ruby Shanahan was the city clerk, and her and seven girls basically ran the city. times have changed, and in that time, you know, you could take, like, a new mayor would come in. He could grease the skids for his brother-in-law or campaign manager, or whatever, to become the chief. And then 4 years later, if there was a new mayor, he was out. And the next guy's brother-in-law or brother or whatever would be moved in. And of course, that was where nepotism came in. Nepotism isn't only relatives. It's close friends, people that have ties.
So you see this as almost the most apolitical.
Yeah, it's been very I have never felt pressure from the city council. Or even my boss, city manager.
Yeah, you better find that boss thing. It depends on what year, what time of the year we're talking about, huh?
Well, you know, I've seen cases where, over the years, where the city managers have come down on the chiefs, but that's because they've screwed up, you know. And I guess I can say I don't feel that I've screwed up any place for them to come down on me.
KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more. With Merle Harpham.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a 4-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpham, the acting police chief for the city of Eureka. Merle, the fact that there had been an offer made, it was spurned, sounds like it's too harsh of a word, but let's say not taken. Okay, now that kind of puts you in a little limbo state now, too, where you might have been anticipating not having to do what you're doing and be able to go back in maybe 3-4 weeks and just become, you know, Merle the cop again.
Yeah. Work the streets.
Yeah. Does that,
well, I'm used to.
Does that change anything for you? I mean,
well,
were you
anxious
about this and then kind of had it go,
I was kind of making plans and looking forward to it and, you know, working with the new person and getting him acclimatized to our traditions, our customs, and so it came as a surprise. But you know, they want me to stay. I'm a soldier. I'll do whatever they want.
So as it continues, do you feel that there's any pressure right now for the city manager to get somebody locked in before the end of the year to leave, or is it almost now to the point where if you go through the process again? Okay, it's going to give it 6 months. Yeah. Let the new guy kind of settle in, let him or her get a sense of what's going on. Yeah, next spring is the same as this fall.
It could be unfair to expect. It's so close to, you know, David leaving that it would be kind of unfair to have the new man not make the choice of who he's going to work for the next 4 years, 10 years, whatever. And so right now, Dave could go ahead and do that, but he's kind of putting the kibosh on the new city manager, whoever that may be.
And then on the flip side, you go, okay, this is one major thing off the plate that they don't have to deal with first thing out of the chute.
Right.
As they're trying to figure out what's going on and where's Eureka and where's the Bay. All those types of things that a new manager might need to take a couple of months just to figure out if they're a horse or footback.
Yeah.
Wait. Not a horse or footback. A foot or horseback.
Yeah. Well, the chief's position is a very sensitive position, particularly in this city, it seems. They go out and they hire other department heads, and nobody really even knows it until they make the announcement at City Hall. There's not a lot of, but in this situation, they went out and they did all these community forums and got input from the people what they expected and what they wanted. And that
profile, is that one you feel comfortable with?
Yes.
Okay. I just was curious.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, but it's what, you know, it's what the citizens want, because we do work for them.
Yeah, but you also work for the law, the state.
Yeah.
The city.
Right. Yeah. Well, right. they can't come into conflict. That goes without saying.
Is there a significant advantage of a local over an out of area?
I think so. We've had both, and we have been more successful with local than we have. Some people say, well, what about Shipley? Well, Shipley graduated from Eureka High. He was local.
Yeah.
He couldn't get on this department at that time because they had a height requirement. Emma Heiser, the chief at that time, who Shipley replaced, never hired him because of his height, and he went on down
to Pacific Grove?
No, Pacifica.
Pacifica.
He went to Pacifica and was hired down there because the height retirement was going out anyhow. And, that height requirement is back in the days when the people you dealt with were 6'10" loggers, you know, basically. That's where the problems were. Not like today, you know, it's a whole different person that they're dealing with out there.
That's one thing I had wondered also. If the current crew somehow, some way, you stepped into a time machine for one day. Okay. So you're back. You got all the old bars in Old Town up. You got the loggers. Yeah, okay.
Loggers, the service people.
Would they be able to handle it?
Mill workers.
Or was it such a different cast of characters?
You know, probably not as well as the old timers did for this reason. Most of the people that were hired then were ex-loggers. They'd hire the bull of the woods, the guy that knew how to deal with people. He didn't care if he ever saw another tree fall over. He was 40 years old and didn't like that getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He became the police officer, and who did he have to deal with? The young loggers who looked up to him as, you know, I'm going to listen to this guy because he's been there. He knows what's going on.
Well, I would imagine the same could hold true if somebody from a big department coming to a small department, you know, if there was history and it was positive, you guys could, or the new folks, this guy's been here. He's seen a whole lot more situations than what we've seen. Maybe this is somebody to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Or not. Yeah. I don't know. It's that whole thing of hiring local or not, I would think can be interesting. The spouse also, obviously, is part of it.
Right.
Is there a special breed that can be the spouse of a cop?
Has to have patience. You know, in years back, you'd look at chiefs, and they always seemed to be stayed married longer than some of the younger officers. And I, like me, I was married over 50 years to the same woman, and I'd still be married if she hadn't unexpectedly passed away.
Left you. Okay. KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The research has tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 336. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpum. Merle, when you consider the different ways to set up a police agency, let's go with a city rather than a county police agency. Are there a lot of choices, a lot of variables, a lot of areas that you could emphasize or not emphasize structurally?
Certainly. The very first thing you have to have the patrol officer. You have to have those people where the rubber meets the road, as Arnie Millsap used to say. Because you could do away with everybody on the department, except the last person out the door is going to be that police officer. You know, if you had to lay everybody off, that's the most important person on that department. It's not the chief. It's not the detectives. Those are all necessary people, but it's the main force is that patrol force.
The guy in the car.
The guy in the car that's out responding to the calls and out patrolling the streets, observing crime, stopping crime.
So if you've got flexibility, how do you determine how many are on the street? How many are handling the evidence locker? How many are in dispatch? How many are administrative? How many are mid-level, sergeants, lieutenants? Yeah. How big this office is, that office is? How do you arrive at what really is a good fit for a community?
Well, first off, you have to rely on what they are going to give you. You know,
Financial reality.
52 sworn officers, you're allotted that on your in your budget, 52 sworn, and X number of non-sworn, then you have to figure out how to best use them.
So you're given X number of officers, not a dollar sign, and you apply it however
right.
you
yeah.
want to?
Right. There, it's given, the numbers come first, and then the costs are tagged onto that. What's it going to cost?
So you work the calculator and you figure out how much.
I don't, but yeah,
well,
somebody
okay.
does.
In theory, somebody in the department, yeah.
Right.
Who knows how to do a, you know, use right, a calculator. Yeah. What about deployments and things of that nature? If you wanted to say, for whatever reason, okay, there's no crime that happens in my town, USA, from 9 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. Could you choose to have, let's say,
yes.
in a city like Eureka, one or two, and that's it?
Well, that no,
and
that
then
would
go
be,
heavy in the nights if you wanted to, or drive
there
home?
Was a time when that was possible. You couldn't go with that many now.
Or let's say a very light crew in
right.
the daytime,
right.
and really heavy in the nighttime.
Yes, and that's what we do. We have more people on between 5 in the afternoon and 11 at night, right in that area. That's our heaviest saturation at that time, because that's when most of the calls come in. And so, yeah, we do. We figure out how to best use them, and we adjust the hours that they're going to work according to what the crime load says we need to do.
So you've got a trend, if
yes.
you will, or a 5-year history. Or what if you were a new town, like some of these ones that were popping up in the valley, and you really didn't have any historical? And the community was, let's say if McKinleyville incorporates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
So there's some history, but it's not like what we're talking about. There might be some overlay with the county, but it's a different type of community. It's not a regional headquarters or regional center like Eureka is.
Yeah.
Would that change those figures
when
you would put people
right.
out?
It could, and depending on what's going on, but like McKinleyville would have history. They have history there of what their crime is because they have a substation there. And so they
okay,
would have an idea.
Let's call it Merleville then. So it doesn't exist.
Doesn't
probably
exist,
won't.
No.
But let's say it did and it was coming in at about 50,000.
Oh, you'd have to play it by the seat of your pants. You'd have to just start off and see how it works and make the adjustments as you go along.
So you have that flexibility or that ability then to have the flexibility to do that kind of stuff.
Right, because who would better know than the people that are out there working the streets? And that's what you'd rely on that.
You really want to use that phrase?
What's that?
Working the streets?
Oh, well,
I
mean, there's working the street and there's working the street, I guess.
Fair enough. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:41. We'll be back with the guy that works the streets in just a moment.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Merle Harpham. Merle, how'd the weekend go for you?
It went pretty good with one exception. I had a scare. I got a phone call from a sergeant that they'd had an incident down at the rescue mission similar to the one several years ago where a guy was totally out of his head. The employees at the rescue mission, four of them, held the guy down. He's a small guy. He's not very big. I've dealt with the guy, and every time I've dealt with him, he's been very courteous and polite. But he was obviously on something, maybe bath salts or gypsum weed or something, but because he was totally out of his head. We ended up getting four officers there. He felt nothing. They pain compliance, nunchucks, nothing. He felt nothing, and he was pushing officers around, 200-pound officers around like they were featherweights. Got him to the hospital, and even after some time, his heart rate was still at 175. We were all very concerned that this guy might stop because of
just fatigue, yeah.
Yeah. And so fortunately, they kept him at the hospital until he was able to be released. But those are scary things because there's stuff. And we would have been blamed. If he had died at the hospital, there'd have been a group of people that would have blamed us. And, it's just one of those things. It's some of these things out there. And like the bath salts, it's a new problem. And it's, when I say bath salts, that's the name it was given. It's not what you put in your bathtub.
Yeah.
But it's a rising problem, fast rising. We haven't had a whole lot of problems here, but like some places in this country, they've had huge increases and huge problems and emergency rooms, people die, and it's a poison, basically. And why people would take something they don't know what's in it, because it's made different. I mean, there's different ingredients and different ones, and there's no way to test for it. There is a way to test for it, but it's so expensive, time-consuming, and the guy might be dead by the time the hospital figures out, gets all the tests done to figure out what poison is in him.
So it's really not practical.
No, it's not. And so consequently, it's a enormous problem, and I don't know how they're going to solve it. The legislature has made it illegal to sell, but they'll have to correct some of the other parts of the law in terms of using it.
Does it seem like there's been an awful lot of heavy-duty stuff the last couple of months? It was doing some paperwork review and compilations last week. Murder, burglary, weird speeding, crash, right. Bang, drug.
Yes, and who knows? I mean, what underlying cause might be. There could be, a whole myriad of reasons. Like one guy they found, our officers found the guy wandering around talking nonsense, and it turned out when they got him to the hospital that his head was fractured from ear to ear and on under his chin, and so they could basically twist his skull. Yeah, the pathologist, he died, and late about 3 days later at the hospital, and the pathologist basically said It looks like he got run over by a car. It was a huge compression thing. But we didn't have anybody complaining about running over anybody, you know, or hearing a thump thump. But and then the other one was, we called it the, looked like he was killed by a ninja warrior. He was struck 11 times with a sharp instrument like a sword or an axe. And 11 vicious, very vicious blows, and clear down, one blow went clear through his skull and down to his eye. And so we're looking at about three different suspects on that. And so, yeah, there's been some kind of crazy stuff going on, and our arrests are up. But we're putting people in jail, and we've got some cases where we arrested one guy three times in one day. And we've had others where twice in one day they've been arrested, and they're back out and released again. And females aren't being held in jail hardly at all, unless it's a real serious offense, because they don't have room. A good percent of our females now are being arrested. It used to be, it was a male thing, basically. People in jail were male, and the female side was a very small section. They need to enlarge that, because more and more, I guess they want equal rights, too, to commit crimes.
Title IX in the jailhouse.
Yeah.
Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by, Merle.
Okay.
We'll see if we can find you a boss.
All right.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you for double discount at 6:00.